Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Loons Match Day Preview. I'm Kyle Hayward, joined today with Manny Lagos and Jonathan Harrison's radio partner, Dan Terhard. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here. What a gorgeous day.
Oh, it is beautiful today. Didn't get a chance to go out to training, but I was hoping I could.
Yeah, it's beautiful up here. It started out snowy. We actually started training inside this week, but it seems like things are trending towards a sunny weekend at Allianz Field.
Yeah, we'll take it. 60 and sunny.
Yep. Every day.
Yeah. All of April, please.
All right. Well, today, guys, we're going to start off with some general league stuff. All right. I picked out three of my favorite storylines around the league right now that aren't Loons related. And I know it's kind of like a broken record, but I want to start with Miami. It seems like there's almost two Miami teams this year. They've played 10 games, five with Messi, five without. And I'm trying to figure out if this is a good team or if this is just a team with good players. What do you guys think?
Oh, there's a lot to that one. Dan, you want to take it first and I'll probably pile on top.
I think there are two teams. There's the team with Messi, the team without. Isn't this what we kind of thought coming in? Messi's going to make whoever he plays with a much better team. And when he's in, they're a really good team. When he's out, they're Miami. So, I mean, we knew that when he came to the league, he was going to make wherever he went better. And I just think we're kind of seeing, I don't know, I don't find it surprising at all. Do you, Manny?
No, I mean, I don't find it surprising that, you know, the greatest player of all time is when he's in, he makes the team better. When he's out, I do think there's some nuance in terms of the reality that we kind of all talked about, the challenges of how many competitions they're in. And you know, Messi being injured is definitely kind of creates the complication of reality of that, you know, he's getting older and that the roster is older. So when he's not in, I certainly think, you know, last night was a good example of a Monterrey team that probably is still the best in this hemisphere, certainly in the CONCACAF. And, you know, they're showing depth that Miami probably doesn't have right now. And so for me, I think you're 100% right. I think it's black and white. You're going to be better with Messi, but you're also put together a really kind of older roster. And to be fair, I think Suarez has turned it around. You know, I think he had a horrible start to now. He's looking lively. Even last night with 10 men, he really was fighting to get an equalizer in a way that, you know, he seems like he's only going to get better as the year goes on. So I guess for me, I think any team that you put together and then, you know, the league tries to create their own super team. I've seen a lot of other sports. It takes time, whether Messi's playing or not. There's a lot of new players in that team. And like all of our teams right now, we're kind of building into who and what we're going to be for the year.
Manny, do you think that we know they're better when Messi's on the pitch, but at some point, do they become a better team just because he's there, even if he's not in the lineup that night?
I think they become this is a tough call. I think they're better, have a better chance to win on the day because he's in the lineup, because he's so amazing. He makes everybody else better. I mean, he creates more goal chances. He builds other guys up and he makes particularly offensive players look better. I think, I guess the bigger question I would have is the game of soccer and the modernization of defense and offense and attack and defending, he does put a lot of pressure on the field on his mental capacity of his defenders, having to defend week in, week out when he doesn't always get behind the ball. And so I'm intrigued, you know, kind of over a 4 or 5 month skill set here. Can his defenders play week in, week out where sometimes they'll have to defend for 2, 3, 4 minutes straight because they don't always get back and get the ball or get their shape quickly based on the fact that he plays a different way. You know, he plays to be ready when they get the ball to get forward and counterattack. He almost has to save his legs for his offensive moments. So I'm going to be fascinated as the season goes on. The Messi effect now when he's on the field, 100% win. Can that be consistent over a 34 MLS season plus Leagues Cup? It'll be fascinating to see. I'm intrigued. Like I said, that's the balance of the quality of the player versus the strategy technically around or tactically around the realities of MLS and its schedule.
Well, that's enough Miami. We've all heard about them enough. We'll move on to somebody else. Another team that we used to hear a lot about seems like they might be back. I don't know if I'm buying it yet, But Dan, what do you think of LA Galaxy this year?
Can I wait to see what happens this weekend and then tell you?
if only.
I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. We were talking about this during the week, and I kept saying, you know what? I think this weekend will tell us a lot about the Galaxy when they play LAFC. Actually, I think we can learn a lot about both those two LA clubs. So I'm not sold yet, Manny. I don't know how you feel, but I'm not quite convinced that they're back to where they want to be. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt they're going to be better than they were a year ago. But I guess I haven't seen enough to decide that they're completely back and they're a contender in the West.
No, I'm getting every week I watch them. I've obviously the last weekend's big win and comeback showed some resiliency and adversity that I don't think I'd seen over the last couple of years. So I think that little moment was impressive. I think there is a shift in their kind of high level players are a little bit more at an age where they're kind of in their prime versus their last iteration of kind of superstars that maybe were good on paper, but maybe didn't help them build the kind of team they wanted. So to me, I think offensively, they look back. It's really for me defensively. Are they really hungry to now not rely on just scoring more goals, but actually have putting up, you know, clean sheets and winning some games defensively? I think that's where you get caught in a long season. If you're not good defensively over time, it weighs on offense because you're going to get shut down eventually some games. So to me, I got to see a little bit more of their defensive output over a longer metric of games to know where they really are.
Yeah, I agree.
And in the back with Yoshida and Caceres, they've got experience, but like we were talking about with Miami, some of those older guys, we'll see how that plays out over a full season.
Well, they've already leaked a lot of goals, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
No, they've scored a lot, but they've leaked a lot too.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if they're back. All right, the last story I've got from around the league, I've been looking at Colorado this year. Obviously, last year was pretty disappointing for them on the field. And they took that to heart, listened to the fans. They went and they invested heavily, brought in a lot of players, Mihaljevic, Stefan. They brought Vines back. And I've seen some things from them this year, late goals, never giving up. You know, just kind of seems like the narrative's changing in Colorado. What are you seeing over there, Manny?
I'm excited for Chris Armas. We're former teammates. I'm excited to have him back in the league and coaching and seeing how he does. He's a great person and certainly, you know, somebody I think is really excited to take charge of Colorado. I think the model of spending big is right, except for I think it's more they're spending on players that maybe in their minds they didn't quite succeed in Europe and are coming back as Americans. So that may or may not go well in the end. I still think that's early to see if those guys are really at the level to kind of take over and run the league. But it certainly is a model that has somewhat worked in the past of really good American players in your roster. And I'm certainly intrigued to see how they kind of, you know, evolve to be competitive. And they started really well. You know, last week was a big win over LAFC. And I think LAFC scored early and thought, this was going to be an extension of that Nashville game where they won 5-0, and it was really impressive for Colorado at home to come back. I deservedly get the win. So we'll see. I mean, again, I think it's super early. I think it's probably a little bit more of a sign that the West is really competitive in a kind of equal way, if I'm being honest, that it shows that a lot of the teams early on are showing that we can all compete on any given day with any other Western Conference team.
It's so tough early on to figure out which teams are starting slow or they're just going to get better, which teams start fast and they won't be able to maintain that level of play. But with Colorado, obviously they made a lot of personnel changes. They're a different team, but did they need a culture change there? I mean, are we seeing just a difference in attitude this year that's helped them, do you think, Manny?
Yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, you bring in somebody like Chris Armas, and I think Robin Fraser is probably pretty good at culture too, knowing him and knowing his personality. But at the end of the day, I think for them, they are trying to search for an identity of how to win. And like all teams, that the next phase of MLS was the identity of the entire league and what's it going to be and how is the spend and roster builds going to be. There's no doubt. I think there's a kind of micro reality now that all our clubs are really thinking about what's the next phase of identity to be competitive. And I think we have new leadership where we're going through that process. And so I think for Colorado, the shift right now is there. I would say probably even more so than the Galaxy. I'm a much more of like, I would hold on this one for a couple months before I had any type of like kind of decision to see. It's just nice that they started somewhat okay early, but I would not throw anything out for a couple months on them for sure.
It's tough to tell this early, but if they can get back to winning ways at home, I mean, as you know, you win at home, and all of a sudden that road trip becomes a little bit easier to go on. And if they can get to the point where they're winning at Dick's all the time, that's going to make them a tough out.
Yeah, and this has always been, curiously, one of our kind of more tension-filled games every time we play them. So for me, it's a huge year for us to sweep them because I still think the opportunity is there. I don't think their roster is a level that we shouldn't expect ourselves to win at home and win away. And I haven't seen anything yet that says that we can't do that. Although, again, they seem to have a couple good results early.
Yeah.
Yeah, West is definitely different this year. Seems like it's going to be pretty competitive again.
You don't have to wait for spring training to start playing the beautiful game this year. Minnesota United has a full slate of academy and youth camps scheduled throughout 2024. Show off your skills, take your game to the next level, and enjoy some quality time on the field with MNUFC's licensed academy staff. Visit the Camps and Combines page on MNUFC.com for more information.
But let's focus back here on the Twin Cities. Well, I guess Philadelphia first. The game this weekend, 2-0 loss. Dan, you want to lead off with your thoughts, game?
Well, I got the feeling in this one that Philadelphia was in a position where I don't know that they were going to be denied last Saturday. Unlike some of the first four matches for Minnesota, for you guys, Manny, were situations where, you know, you played teams that maybe they hadn't found their form yet. Maybe they were struggling to find out, you know, who they were, trying to get players back, trying to get players ready. But this one, going into Philadelphia, just the situation that Philly was in, it kind of felt and played out like a team that maybe wasn't beatable in their home stadium on that given day. And because they don't, well, I think they've lost about three home matches in the last couple of years. So it just felt like it was Philadelphia's day. And you know, the 2-2-0 score kind of reflected that, I think.
No, I think you're right. It was a huge task. I specifically, I think they've only had one loss in 38 at home. Hadn't won at home yet this year. Hadn't picked up 3 points. So there certainly was going to be a lot of kind of intentional intensity for them to get their 3 points at home. I think the only thing, if I look at the game, we weren't overwhelmed. You know, I don't know if we, I would say we didn't play well. I mean, I can say that. We didn't play poorly, though, and I don't think we were overwhelmed. And when I look at the flow of the game, I thought we started out an amazing 10 minutes. I thought we were outstanding. I thought we started to control the tempo. And so to me, it was just a really big shame giving up the goal in the way we did. It was a soft goal. It was a goal, I thought, against the run of play in terms of how the first, you know, 10 minutes went. And I think that allowed a little bit of belief and intensity that it took us probably about another 20 to 30 minutes to absorb their kind of home field advantage. And I thought we finished the half strong. I thought it was our best moments of the game were probably the last 5 to 7 minutes. Pukki had that great chance. We had Caden Clark had a chance with the ball in the box, and they really couldn't get a tempo really to kind of get a second goal before halftime. And so for me, again, I didn't think we were overwhelmed. I think the second half is where we didn't show up the way we probably thought we would have. Whether that's how we started the second half or whether that's the first game where our subs really weren't impactful. You know, again, I think I want to be somewhat positive because, like I said, I think going to Philly and playing the way we did is really tough. Having said that, international break, we had some guys like Pukki and Boxy that played a lot of minutes, traveled a lot. And then we had subs that didn't come on and weren't impactful, really tried to probably ended up being where the game should have been, where us with the loss, and hopefully getting excited about looking at that and reflecting and getting better for this weekend.
And Manny, you know, you go to the halftime down 1-0 and you feel like it probably should have been scoreless at that point, but you just about equalize it called off due to an offside call. That was painful because then they scored shortly after that. And then it was, okay, now we're really desperate. And so, you know, a couple of breaks here. If Pukki scores on that great chance in the first half, if that goal isn't offside, it's a different night. And even though you didn't play that well, you weren't that far away from getting a result in Philadelphia.
Yeah, which I'm excited. I agree. Again, that's why I said, especially the first half, I didn't think we were overwhelmed in a tough environment to play well. And you can even say the handball shot might have been a handball in the first half. So fair play to our guys. Having said that, I think we all will put our hands up as a club and say the second half probably could have been better. We probably could have created more chances when it was 1-0, even more, a little bit more stress on them. And again, you know, our subs have been so impactful this year. I thought, you know, this game was just it wasn't quite there the way it usually is. I would say Dane had another really sharp performance. That's one area I thought, you know, he seemed calm and composed, and, you know, even giving up two goals, I thought he performed very well. He had that one great save off the volley. So there's some fun moments there for him as well. And after that, I think, you know, we get better and we get excited about this home game this weekend.
I enjoyed watching Devin get another shot at center back. I thought he did very well throughout the game. A little unfortunate to concede to, I thought.
I Kyle, great point. I think Devin, you know, for somebody who hasn't played a lot of minutes at center back at the highest level against a very good team, he had a very strong day.
Yeah, he's got, you know, you could put a guy like that there because he's young, he's very athletic, he's got good speed. And so he's, you know, guys like that, if they do make a slight mistake, they've got the tools to try and to make up for it. And it was interesting to watch him throughout the game. He seemed to gain more confidence throughout the match.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. You know, last week starting at left back and this week at left center back, and, you know, getting two full games and really being stronger by the end of those two games than at the beginning is really impressive. Credit to him. I liked some of his play reminded me of his like 1v1 Woodbury High School basketball defending, you know, just when he really embraces, you know, taking on the best player 1v1 and showing his athleticism. So it's been a good two games for him for sure. And exciting for the club to see such a young player, local player, doing so well.
Yeah. Yeah. Love to see people from Minnesota representing the club. Let's go for some standout players from the game. I thought from either side, I personally thought Quinn Sullivan also had a great game. He's just got a lot to him, real spitfire, kind of always got something down the line there. Who did you guys think stood out most, either side?
I mentioned probably for us it was Dane. I like Sullivan, that you brought up him. I mean, 20 years old, we kind of brought him in the pregame show quite a bit. You know, not for some reason, you know, they did a good job of dragging Joseph in, and Sullivan was running against Will Trapp a couple times, which, you know, was not a great matchup in terms of speed, but it also just shows how you know, fast Sullivan is with and without the ball. He kind of glides up the field and in a way that I think is really aggressive and put us on our feet a little bit, back feet a little bit too much to be comfortable to kind of get back in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. On our side of the ball, you know, it's amazing how much tougher it is, Manny, to find key players on your squad when you get shut out. But I'm still just so excited to have Robin Lode back and what he does every game. I mean, I really feel he's always one of the smartest players on the pitch. And even though they didn't combine, I saw some more of that development of Robin Lode and particularly with fellow Finn Timo Pukki. And I just think that there's some really exciting things to come around Robin and maybe Robin and Pukki together.
Yeah, even that Pukki's chance came from Robin getting in that good spot, breaking the line, and then his pass broke the line into Pukki. So I think you're right. Again, like I said, it wasn't maybe his best game, but it was a good game. You know, he really, like I said, he really still, I don't want to say it's a good game. They showed what their potential of the two of them can be. I think because we are starting to see the familiarity of them, it's not just here, it's on the Finnish national team.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, speaking of things to come, let's turn our attention towards the Real Salt Lake game this weekend. The first thing I want to talk about with them is their head coach, Pablo Mastroianni. He's done a fantastic job since getting there as interim, I think, or assistant in 2021. And ever since then, they've been in the playoffs each year. Manny, what have you thought about the job he's done over there?
Oh, I think he's done a great job. You know, obviously, Pablo is somebody I really respect. Used to play against, a really good national team player, good player in the league, you know, great defender, great defensive midfielder as well. And a really good guy. I mean, he's had a journey as a coach where, you know, sometimes it's gone well and it hasn't. And it seems like he keeps on getting better every time he becomes a head coach. So I think he's really excited about where he is in terms of his belief in himself and coaching. And I think that's an extension of how RSL plays and really that they've made a playoffs the last couple of years. They're really a credit to him and to the club and what they've done over the last couple of years. So to me, you know, they've got a coach now that I think is very confident in what he's doing and how what kind of group he's putting on the field and the identity of how they're trying to play.
These are the matches, Manny, I think that are so important to your club this year. This is, you look right in the eyes of a team that they want the same things that Minnesota United wants. They want to be in the playoffs. They want to make sure they're in the playoffs. They want to give themselves a chance to have a home playoff match. So I'm not saying the style of play is similar, but maybe the attitude, the expectations between RSL and Minnesota United are very similar.
I agree. And they've got a little moxie about them too right now. Again, they've got Chicho, who's, you know, 3 goals last week. He's maybe probably in the early MVP awards kind of discussion. They've got a great young American kid in Diego Luna, who was a sub last week, but he's got these touches that's a little bit difference maker, very unique. And they're a team that I think is battling with us. It's probably too early to say it's a must win, but I think it's an important game for us after Philadelphia, particularly with us trying to really rebound in terms of how we want to show our home form. And I think this is a team that we're probably should be excited to play right now.
Yeah.
They have a few injuries, and also we're trying to establish our home territory, and this is a good team that'll test you. And you kind of want teams that will test you, because ultimately that means you kind of know where you are in the season.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, coming up against somebody like Chicho Arango, what's the key to keeping him from scoring? Is it just kind of damage mitigation, or is it can you somehow get him out of the game?
It depends on who's in the lineup.
Yeah, I think he's out of the game. I think he reminds me of Reedy Diaz a little bit. Like, the physical profile is not quite there, but he's somebody that's always thinking about scoring 24/7 in different ways. And if you relax even for a second, he'll find that goal. But I think if you are organized and really tough and physical and make sure for 90 plus minutes, you're detailed oriented to really make sure you keep track of him, I think you can shut him down. So again, I'm saying that, but he's a great player, a great goal scorer. And he finds a way every game to not do what I just said. So we certainly have our hands full for us, but I do think if we're really focused on a good defensive game, we should have a good game.
Yeah, you can't lose track of him, and you've got to take away his space. You know, you give guys like that time and space, and they're going to hurt you just about every day.
I'm much better in the air than you realize, for sure. You know, much more clever with his movement, getting in between, particularly in our box defending. He'll get in between those two center backs and attack the ball. So, again, we have to be ready for 90 minutes of making sure, even if he's hiding a little bit, that we're ready to deal with him all the time.
Is he a guy, Manny, that Michael Boxall can play very physical, or is he just too slippery for that?
No, I think Michael can, for sure. I think Michael's shown at this point he can play against most guys in the league physically. He can also, I think, match up athletically more than people realize. Sneakily, Michael is one of the faster center backs in the league. So, again, I think he's got the ability to solve things athletically if physically it doesn't match up quite the same way. So, to me, again, it's a big matchup, and it's a big one for us to know who's potentially going to be playing alongside Michael. Is it be Devin back again? Is Tapia's back? Those are things where it's going to be big and interesting to see where we are from last week's lineup to this week's lineup.
In last week's game, I noticed they kind of dropped Arango into that 10 position rather than playing him as a 9. How does a player like him adapt to that? Or Manny, what do you think the thinking was there?
You know, it's interesting. I'm not sure. I think Pablo's still at the stage where a lot of teams are trying to see like your current group getting the best out of players. Obviously, they've got some injuries too. So he might just be tweaking things just because of they've got a bunch of injuries right now. And he's just trying to figure out how to make it work. You know, I mentioned to you that like he's going to float in the box eventually, no matter what, or get in and around goal scoring, even if he's in the 10 spot. I don't think he's going to be a traditional 10 no matter what, or he's not going to find himself on the ball kind of playing like Ray or playing like a true 10. He's going to want to be a 9 and get in the box no matter what. And then I think they're trying to use the speed of Anderson Julio last week as their 9. And he's somebody that we have to be aware of. I think he's gotten a goal or two against us over the years. He's got very, very, very good speed. And I mentioned Diego Luna, whether he starts or a sub, is always a difference maker. And then defensively, you know, they have Justin Glad has a little bit of a hamstring issue, so he may or may not play. But he's somebody that our fans should recognize. He's been a stalwart for them for years. And I actually really like the right back, Brody. He sneakily gets forward and is tough to deal with. I think we've got to make sure we're aware that a lot of offense does actually come from his side, and they get up the right side pretty well. So I think, again, that's something to be aware of when we play him this weekend.
Yeah, I think the weather looks great. Should be a capacity crowd at Allianz. So, it looks like it's going to be just a really exciting match. Can't wait.
Definitely excited for it. Might have to open the windows for that one.
I like it. Oh.
Aside from our game this weekend, I've picked out a couple others if people want to tune in. We've got El Tráfico 6:30 this Saturday. So you can watch it for an hour and then switch over to our game. Obviously the important one. For our Canadian friends, we've got Vancouver taking on Toronto. Both had great starts to the year, so tune into that one as well if you're not into El Tráfico. Or I'm not going to recommend any other games starting at 7:30 because obviously we're occupied, right? And then we've got SKC versus Portland on Sunday. So plenty of MLS action to tune into this week. Our game, as I said, kicks off at 7:30 p.m. at Allianz Field. Hope to see you all there. If you can't make it out, be sure to tune into MLS Season Pass. We'll be on there this weekend. And thanks for listening to another episode of the Loons Matchday Preview. Sorry. We'll see you next weekend for another round.